Welcome to Grace Point. I am so delighted that you are with us today. I'm grateful to be able to spend these moments with you. We're going to have a great worship experience together. But before we actually dive in, I want to invite you just to take a moment with me and take a couple of deep breaths. This has been an incredible week. A week filled with a lot of emotions and challenges for people in our Grace Point family, our community, as well as our entire nation. I mean, if you are local to Grace Point, then you know that COVID numbers in our area have absolutely gone crazy the last couple of weeks. And that has affected so many people, touched so many people in our Grace Point family. There are those in our medical community who are exhausted and stressed almost to the breaking point. And we need to pause and pray that God would give them strength. Then there are many other folks who have been affected and they're having to quarantine, and it's even affected our staff. Sadly, there have even been a couple of families who've experienced the death of an extended family member via COVID over the last couple of weeks. And I know you'll join me in praying for them, praying that God would give them His comfort during this time. In addition to all of those medical and health concerns, there's the issue of our nation continuing to wrestle with things like mass shootings and racial justice or injustice. I mean, we all know that this week the trial in Minnesota ended and a guilty verdict was rendered, but the challenge continues. On all sides of this issue, there are people who are hurting deeply. And we all struggle. We struggle to understand, often because we've never walked in the shoes of the people who are hurting. Let me just ask you to make it really personal, and so I'm going to make it personal for me. I've never walked in the shoes of a person with dark skin. So I don't fully understand all of the things that they face, the challenges they deal with on a daily basis. I don't understand. I've never walked in the shoes of a person who is a police officer. So I don't understand what they face every single day. What I do know is this. I love my friends and my church family members who have darker skin. I want to understand. I want insight. I want to be a part of the solution, not the problem. And I also love my friends and church family members who are in law enforcement. And I want to encourage them and love them and support them and be a part of the solution, not the problem. I have a feeling that many of you feel the exact same way. So as we pause at the beginning of our time together, I want to ask you just to take some deep breaths and recover a bit from the stress of the week, and also to join me in praying for each other, that God would help us to have understanding hearts. That God would help us be part of the solution, not part of the problem. That He would help us truly live out our faith by loving each other unconditionally. I mean, we all know that these issues are not going to be solved by new legislation or new laws. They're not going to be solved just by a verdict in a trial. We know that these kind of issues, they're not solved at the White House level. They're solved when we get serious in our own house and in our own hearts and let God help us. So let's pray that God would help us to understand and to love more fully. Let's pray that God would actually help us live out the mission that He's given us as a Grace Point family, to offer real hope, the real hope of Jesus, to each other, to our community, and to our entire world. So let's just pray together that God would help us in this way. Would you join me? God, there are so many things about what's happening in our world today that we don't fully understand. But we want help. We want understanding. We want wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us those things which we cannot gain in our own strength and with our own ingenuity. God, would you help us to learn how to give have understanding to people who are different than we are, who think differently than we think, who have experienced different things than we've experienced? Would you help us know how to love each other and respect each other? God, I pray that you would help us to somehow be able to unconditionally love the people around us. God, I pray that you would help us be able to have conversations respectfully and lovingly so that we can learn how to walk the journey of life with each other. God, help us be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And so would you bring healing to the hearts of people who are hurting on all sides of these issues? Would you bring encouragement? Would you somehow help all of us to be able to take steps forward in the right direction? God, we pray that you would bring healing to those who are hurting physically from the effects of COVID or other things, and we pray that you would strengthen them. And God, I pray that you would give comfort to those who have lost loved ones. May they sense your peace that goes beyond anything we can understand. And God, I pray that you would give strength to our medical community as they do their very best to care for all of us as we continue to walk through this situation with COVID. God, we love you and we are so grateful for the way that you're at work in our lives, and we believe that you're going to speak to us today through your word as we continue our message series, Made for More. God, would you help us to have open hearts as we share your word together today? We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Jessica from our St. John's campus, and I am so glad that you're joining us online today. And I wanna give a shout out to our St. John's campus, hi guys, because they are joining us via video today. Now you can look around and you can clearly see this is not our normal background. Well, through circumstances beyond our control, which is the slogan for the last year, we've had to change things up. And so I am joining you and you get to join me today from my dining room table, which I actually think is kind of cool. So we're gonna be in the book of Ephesians. That's where we've been the last 2 weeks. And so if you wanna open in your app or scroll in your Bible app to Ephesians chapter 3, while you do that, I'm gonna tell you about one of my favorite authors. It's J.R. Tolkien. I love the book he wrote called The Hobbit. He has a phenomenal way of creating these elaborate worlds, these intricate worlds. They're fantasy. They're totally unrealistic. And he transports you into that world. And you can see it, you can taste it, you can touch it. And you know it's not real, but yet it sometimes feels truer than the life, real life, right? And yet I do have a critique of Tolkien. And if you've ever read Tolkien, you're probably going to know where I'm going. He can be a little long-winded. And a lot of times he starts you on a path and then you get lost along the way, right? And he'll use these great words and great language to describe something. And like 5 sentences later, you've either forgotten what he was describing or you know what he's describing, you've just forgotten where you're at in the story. And I bring that up because I think Paul does that, the Apostle Paul, in a lot of his letters. And I think he does this in Ephesians chapter 3. He starts off and then stops mid-sentence, seems to go on a tangent before he brings us back to his original point. So if you'll look with me in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 3, Paul says this, "When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles," and then it's dot, 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 assuming, by the way, and then he goes into several things from verse 2 all the way to verse 13. He shares several different ideas or facts or information. And he takes him to verse 14 before he picks up that original point. "When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, and your roots will go down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you're going to be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And then he kind of ends it with this praise up to God. He says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. So I think if we were to all take a test, we could say that Ephesians 3 is really focusing in on God's love. And we're not wrong. And it would be easy then to just kind of move on to the next chapter and kind of forget that extra stuff that Paul seemed to be going on about, because it doesn't seem to be really, I mean, it's probably important, but it's not like the main point. And yet, we don't want to do that, because the stuff that Paul says in verses 4 through 13, he is only able to say because of God's love. And so we want to think about, what was it about God's love that caused him to just stop as he's mid-sentence getting ready to tell us how amazing God's love is and reflect on these things? And what do we learn that we can apply in our own life? Because I believe that Paul here is trying to help us see that we can go from living from guilt and shame to more love. You and I were made more for living, and so that requires a shift. We shift from living in guilt and shame to love. So let's go back and look at what Paul seems to be able to do in light of God's love. So you go back to verse 8. Paul's explained to them, his little tangent, by the way, I've been called to be a witness and a proclaimer of the good news to the Gentiles. And he says in verse 8, this happens though I am the least deserving of all God's people. He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And he says, so please, you know, don't lose heart because of my trials here. Remember, he's in prison. He says, I am suffering for you, and so you should feel honor. You see, Paul knew that he was undeserving. And I think we sometimes in the church, we kind of polish over Paul's story. We need to remember who Paul was before he encountered Christ. Paul was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was of the religious elite, devoted to God. He knew the Levitical code, all the rules and regulations for holiness and what it meant to live a holy life. He was committed to Israel and waiting fervently for the Messiah to come. He was passionate about God's mission through Israel. And he was so passionate and so devoted and so in love with God that when these new Jewish people, these people started talking about this guy Jesus and claiming that he was the Messiah, well, he knew he had to do something. And so he was bent. He was going to make sure to literally kill off that doctrine. And so he began to persecute the Christians. And he's on his way to a town to persecute, to stone, to imprison followers of Jesus, followers of the way, when he has a direct encounter with Jesus. And he suddenly realizes that Jesus, he's the Messiah. Everything these Jewish believers have been saying is true. And God wants him to go out and proclaim this same good news, which we know that he does. But can you imagine from time to time? Well, first of all, can you imagine the guilt, just the guilt that Paul had to have felt, at least initially, when he began to fully understand who Jesus was and then begin to fully understand what he had done? In our words today, Paul would have been a terrorist. That's what he did. And he was committed to it because he loved God. And now he's aware that he has actually murdered people, murdered brothers and sisters in Christ. And he has the audacity now to say that God has called him to lead the very people he was persecuting. How is Paul able to do that? Because of God's love. You see, in light of God's love, Paul was honest about his past. He didn't come to Christ and then pretend that stuff didn't exist. He didn't go and hide, nor did he let other people put shame on him, right? He had asked for forgiveness and been forgiven, so he wasn't going to allow other people to put shame on him. Here's the facts. This is what I was, and I don't deserve what God has done. That is what I was. It is not who I am. It has informed many things about me, but it is not who I am. And Paul was able to be honest about his past because he was living in the love that is too great to understand. And that's a reminder for you and I that we can be honest about our weaknesses, and we can be honest without having to be defined by them. We can say, I did this, I sinned, this was how I used to live. We can say, hey, this is how I'm living right now, and this is the part that I'm still struggling with, that is still sin, that I'm still working on, and I need accountability and encouragement. We can be honest about those things. We don't have to pretend. We can even be honest about things that have been done to us that were the sins of someone else. And we don't have to live in shame. And we don't have to be defined by those things because of God's ridiculous and crazy and all-encompassing love. And it doesn't just allow us to live with our past, but it allows us to deal with life today. You see, Paul, what had happened to him, what he had done, and this encounter with Christ and Christ's love gave him a purpose for life today. God then took his story, took all that knowledge that he had of the Old Testament, the Bible, everything he knew about the religious world, the fact that he was a Roman citizen, he knew the lingo and the culture of the Gentiles, and it allowed him to lead people to Christ. It allowed him to advise and counsel churches on how they should actually live out their daily lives and how they should deal with complaints and concerns and sin. God redeemed his story and gave him a purpose for today. And God can redeem our story. His love is so powerful that it can take the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. It can take the things that were done to us that shouldn't have happened. Sin and all that comes with it. And he can redeem it. He can make something good come out of it. And when God's love does that, when a redeemed story highlights God's love, wow. I mean, it shows God's ridiculous grace and it shows his overwhelming love for the world. I mean, think about it. What does it say about how amazing God's love and grace is that he took a terrorist and made him a lover of people who desired all people to come to know this amazing Jesus Christ? And so God can redeem our stories too. But Paul doesn't just think that God's love that he's standing in, which is causing him to go, whoa, before I tell you about God's love, let me tell you about I'm undeserving. Here's my past, but whoa, look what he's done with my present. He's confident about the future. He believes that even though he's in prison and it's hard, God has an eternal plan. God is gonna work things out. It's going to be okay. I don't know what it's gonna look like. I might not like it. It might not be, I mean, look at Paul, he's in prison, but he says, we can be confident about the future because this love is robust and strong and it doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing like it on earth. And Paul says that as that love goes deeper, boy, we're going to understand more and more. He likens us to trees whose roots are going down. He said, you want your roots to grow down into God's love. And it's just like a tree. As a tree, as its roots go down and grow out, that tree can be stronger. It can withstand dry periods. It can withstand storms. As those roots go down and out, the tree can get taller. It can spread out. It can produce more fruit. It can provide more shade. We benefit. Animals benefit. Everything is better because that tree's roots have gone deeper into the ground. And Paul says that as God's love goes deeper, our calling actually expands further. When we begin to comprehend that love, we understand what God is calling us to, what we get to be a part of. In fact, it's so crazy that he says God can do more than we can possibly think or imagine. And all of that's possible simply because of love. And so we don't have to live in guilt and shame. We can live in love and more of it and more of it and more of it. So what's the takeaway? What's the application? What do we do in the weeks to come? Well, I think for some of us, the first step is being honest. Some of us have sinned. We have done wrong, and we're not being honest about it. We're not admitting it. We're justifying, we're minimizing, we're blaming, we're projecting the reasons why we did it onto someone else. We're not accepting responsibility. Maybe we own it, but we're not actually then taking steps to rectify and work toward restoration. Maybe we haven't actually had a conversation with God about it because we're fearful and we're worried. I want to encourage you. God's love will be there once you are honest about what you've done. It's not going anywhere. Paul says that we can go boldly and confidently into God's presence because God's love for us is that strong, that there is nothing that we can admit to, confess, that is going to cause him to turn away from us. Some of us, we know we've done wrong and we need to begin to make, you know, we need to take those next steps, but we're fearful because it's vulnerable to put it out there and say to someone, I wronged you and what do I need to do to make it right? But he says, God's love, well, that comes with his spirit and his spirit's going to go into you and it's going to give you his strength so that you can do it. And so some of us need to begin to take that next step to correct a wrong. And some of us have been dealing not so much with guilt, but with shame. You see, guilt's good. Guilt is what tells you that you've done something wrong. It's the Holy Spirit, you know, trying to wake up your conscience. It's you aware of how your actions have impacted others and how it impacts you. Guilt is good. Guilt should move us toward restoration. But shame is what happens when we don't deal with when we've done wrong. Shame is what happens when other people put shame on us. Shame is what happens sometimes when things happen to us that are not fair and unjust. And that's not of God. God doesn't want us for that. And he says, you don't have to take that. When you don't have to feel shame because you sinned. And you don't have to feel shame because somebody did something to you and hurt you in a way that they shouldn't have. You don't have to. You don't have to bear that responsibility because my love takes it. You don't have to live there. And I think when you're dealing especially with shame, but also with things that we've done wrong, one of the best things we can do is confess. Now, for some of us, like, well, I ain't Catholic. No, you don't confess to me so that I do something for you, so that I can remedy your sins. Only Christ can do that. You don't confess to someone in your small group so that they can forgive you of your sins, absolve you of your guilt, because only Christ can do that. But Scripture does tell us that confession is good for the soul. Confession strips away the power of guilt and shame. When Paul says, I am the least deserving, but yet God has done this, it strips away the power because it allows you to stand fully in the light of God's love. And that love can withstand all things. And so I want to encourage you this week as you process through and you see areas where you need to maybe just be more open and honest about who you are, about what you've experienced, where you've messed up, things that are going on, and reach out. Maybe it's asking for help. Maybe it's just saying, you know, I've always hidden this and I've never told anyone. And you share it. And you share not just that this has happened, but you share how God has transformed it, how God is transforming. And you hold on to the hope that he will use it to bring good and glory to his name and to the whole world. Because he wants us to move from guilt and shame to more love. Love that is too vast for us to possibly comprehend fully. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you loved us and you have never given up on us. And you sent your son, you came as yourself so that we might know what love looked like. You displayed it upon a cross and then you rose again. And you have given us your spirit that lives in us to remind us when we do wrong, to remind us when we feel shame that we are absolutely loved by you, that you look at us and you see in all of that mess, some ours and some caused by others, you see a masterpiece. You have been planning that there are things for us to do that are good and redemptive. And that mess, ours and the mess of others, does not prevent those good deeds from being ours to step into. And we can do it because we are loved beyond anything that we can possibly imagine. And that love is robust. It is strong. It will last. Help us to be honest. Help us to find people that we can be real and authentic with. and help us to accept by faith that you love us. In your name we pray, amen. We're so glad that you joined us again, whether that's online or Hey St. John's. We're glad that you are at the campus, and we look forward to diving in next week to Ephesians chapter 4.